Medicare and Medicare fraud cost taxpayers tens of billions of dollars each year and leaves thousands of people with bills they shouldn't have had to pay. Luckily, an organization called Senior Medicare Patrol helps people avoid Medicare fraud, waste, and abuse. We are happy to talk today to Charles Clarkson, Project Director for the New Jersey branch of Senior Medicare Patrol. Charles will give us an overview of the Medicare fraud problem, how to spot and prevent Medicare fraud, how to report fraud, and some common scams he sees. Please welcome to Talking Retirement, Charles Clarkson. How are you doing today, Charles?
I'm doing well. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, we're honored to have you on. So, you know, we were just talking about it before we got started, but I'd love a little bit of your background and how you ended up as project director of the Senior Medicare Patrol in New Jersey.
Okay, as I said earlier, I was an attorney most of my life, and I had my own law firm, and I was counsel to Beatrice Foods for many, many years. And then in the year 2000, the company was sold, and I was out of a job. And I said to my wife, don't worry, honey, I'll just take off a year and go back to work. Well, instead of 1 year, I took off 5 years. And then my wife is elected president of the Jewish Family Services of Middlesex County and the project director of the Senior Medicare Patrol. They had the grant at the time, quit. And she said to me, honey, you're not doing anything. You should take that job. What are you talking about? I don't know anything about Medicare or Medicaid. I was still much too young to be Medicare eligible. Then she said one more thing. She said, honey, you're driving me crazy. Get the hell out of the house. So I've been project director ever since. So.
No, that's awesome. So a little bit of helping people out and a little bit just to get out of the house.
Right. And what I discovered is I like to speak and I'm a good speaker.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, and we're happy to have you on the podcast because, you know, like you said, you're a great speaker and I'm sure we got a lot to talk about. So how long have you been with the Senior Medicare Patrol?
17 years now. So like I said, from 2005 to the current date.
That's awesome. Yeah. So we're glad to get your expertise. So we'll dive into it. I want to start off with what Senior Medicare Patrol is. You know, I was looking into it, but for someone who's never heard of you guys before.
We're the best kept secret in the government.
I was going to say, yeah.
Every state has a Senior Medicare Patrol, and our mission is quite simple. It's to protect, prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. And we want to educate seniors throughout the state about Medicare fraud because it comes out of their pockets as taxpayers. You know, people don't realize, and the amounts are staggering, you know, 60 to 80 billion a year is lost to Medicare fraud. And people think that's a low estimate. It could cost us a lot more. And even though you're not on Medicare, everybody pays out of their taxes for Medicare fraud, waste, and abuse. So our job really is to help people understand this so they know what to look out for so they can fight it. And if they are scammed or see fraud in Medicare, they know where to report it. And that's basically our job. And we do that by outreach. You know, we go to community centers, senior centers, private clubs, churches, synagogues, anybody that'll invite us. We'll go out and do a presentation. I'm not the only person who does this. I have a Spanish-speaking individual who now we're targeting Spanish-speaking outreach. We also have another person. So we're busy all the time doing presentation. We do hundreds of presentations a year. We also have a newsletter that we send out to thousands of people. I've been interviewed on radio and television. So, and yet, people haven't heard of us.
Yeah. Well, I'm lucky enough to have seen your commercials, so I knew that you guys did exist. In terms of where Senior Medicare Patrol fits in, is it a federal agency that has state branches?
Yeah, we are a federal agency. We're funded by the Administration for Community Living, which is part of HHS. And like I said, every state has a Senior Medicare Patrol, including the territories of Puerto Rico, Guam, and can't remember the others. But basically, there are 54 Senior Medicare Patrols. And really, and when, matter of fact, we get together every year at a national conference, which is coming up in July, where we talk about what we can do to better do outreach for seniors throughout the state. You know, it's seniors are the boots on the ground. They're the persons who pay the bills and use Medicare, including Medicare Advantage plans. You know, we cover both, not just original Medicare, but Medicare Advantage plans. So we encourage people, if they discover fraud and they need help, call us. We're free. And we assign, what we have lots of volunteers. We have about 30 volunteers that we use on a regular basis. We assign cases to them, and their job is to help that individual fight the fraud, waste, and abuse and get the money back either to Medicare or, if they paid out of pocket, get the money back to the individual beneficiary.
Yeah, I think that's a great point to segue into my next question, which is, let's say you're an average person, you suspect that either a doctor did some Medicare fraud with your particular case, or you think it might be happening. What's the process look like if I'm just an average Medicare enrollee and I want to report Medicare fraud to Senior Medicare Patrol?
Well, the first thing we tell people is look at your statements. You know, if you never read your statements, you're never going to know you've been scammed, because the statements go to Medicare and you get a Medicare summary notice if you're an original Medicare. And a lot of people, statistics I read, less than 5% of all people even read their Medicare statements. And because when you look at it, it says this is not a bill. Yet it is a bill indirectly, because Medicare is paying out of your tax dollars. So we want people to read their Medicare summary notices. And if they discover something that looks strange, I don't remember getting this service. I don't remember visiting this doctor. I never got this durable medical equipment. Well, we provide services for that, but we tell them first, look, if it's a doctor's office that billed for a test you didn't get, first thing you do is you call the doctor's office and say, hey, you made a mistake. But here's the problem. When you call a doctor's office, you never speak to the doctor. You might speak to the billing department. And if that's the case, they say, well, it's in the records. We have it. We're billing. You can call Medicare, 1-800-MEDICARE, but we have a partnership. SMP, Senior Medicare Patrol, have a partnership with Medicare. So if you're in a state like New Jersey and you call Medicare, they're going to refer you to the Senior Medicare Patrol, and that's where we come in. And basically, we get all the facts, and we try to help you resolve the issue. Sometimes it could be an error. May not be actual fraud, but it's fraud. You know, we basically collect all the data, and if it's a big case or a big enough case, we have a data file. It's called SIRS. It's we enter all data into a system, and we can refer that data to the Office of the Inspector General, which is the office that oversees fraud in federal programs, and basically try to get the money back. We have been very successful in getting the money back ourselves, usually. You know, when you call a doctor's office and you say, I'm calling from the Senior Medicare Patrol and we're having an investigation, would you like to settle this matter? And a lot of times they say yes. The last thing they want to do is be accused of fraud. So we do have a lot more power than the ordinary citizen who's calling their doctor, because we can actually take steps which might hurt their businesses and their reputation. So we are very successful in doing that.
Okay. So it's the second the Senior Medicare Patrol gets on the phone, the office perks up and goes, oh, let's get this straight.
Yeah, right. And we'll send letters, you know, we do whatever we can to get the money back. You know, obviously we have to determine if it's fraud or if it's just error. So, but we can tell pretty easily, you know, when I'll just mention it since we're going to be talking about this. Right now, the big scam in Medicare is urinary catheters.
I read an article about this. It was a massive, massive thing.
So, you know, I saw an article in the New York Times saying $2 billion being billed to Medicare for catheters, suspected fraud. I said, suspected? what do you need, a hammer over the head to know that's fraud? I mean, it was like 10 times the original amount. So, you know, we're telling people, hey, you know, if you get this stuff, report it to us. You know, let us know, because we want to refer these companies to the Office of Inspector General. It's unfortunate that, I hate to say this, but Medicare is slow. You know, it takes them so long. I mean, if I was running Medicare, I would stop paying any of these claims until they're legitimately reviewed, you know? But I don't run Medicare.
If only. Maybe one day, right? I think, kind of piggybacking off that, I think one of the things that we were talking about recently, because we've done a couple videos where we read articles about some suspected medical fraud, is this idea of upcoding, which might be a little bit harder to find because they are reporting things that are kind of within the scope of what your condition is, but they just make it seem worse than it is. How do you educate people on
upcoming? Well, actually, we talk about the three top frauds in Medicare all the time.
Okay.
Top fraud is billing for services never provided.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is upcoding, and I'll just give an example. If I fall and I break my wrist or hurt my wrist and it starts to swell up, well, I go to my doctor and he says, you know, Charles, I think it's broken, but it's so swollen, go get an x-ray. So I go get my x-ray, but when they bill Medicare, they bill for a CAT scan, they upcode. Or they bill for an MRI, they upcode, because the higher the value code, the more money they get paid for the service. So you have billing for services, you know, never provided, upcoding, and double billing. You know, I always get asked, well, come on, Medicare knows it's double billing. They get the claims. But the problem is many people have the same service over and over again because they have chronic conditions. Medicare doesn't know that's double billing. You know, you have to tell them, or you have to tell us so we could tell them. So those are the three top things. And, you know, the only way to find that out is to read your statements. If you don't read your statements, they're going to get away with it because you haven't taken the time to help fight this fraud, waste, and abuse.
Yeah, and it's tough because we see this a lot with our clients. They get an explanation of benefits and it's overwhelming. I mean, I understand it because I'm an insurance professional, but if you're just the average person, you look at that statement, you're like, what the hell is even going on right now? I don't see why people throw it in the trash, you know?
And a lot of times it says you owe zero. Okay. I'm not going to bother reading this if I owe zero. In the garbage it goes, but we tell people you have to read it. Another thing that beneficiaries should do, and every time I go to do a presentation, this is the first question I have. How many of you right now are carrying your Medicare cards? Half of them always raise their hand. Do not carry your Medicare cards.
Really?
Most fraud happens because the card is lost, stolen, or copied. You don't really need it. And then people always ask me, well, what about an emergency? I won't have my Medicare card with me. And I said, you don't need it. And I always give an example. Let's say I'm driving down the New Jersey Turnpike and I'm in an accident and I'm rendered unconscious. Well, the ambulance will come, the police will come, and they'll drive me to the nearest hospital. Do they search me to see if I have medical insurance? Of course not. You can always provide the information later, presuming you survive everything, you know. So you don't have to carry your card with you. And since now we have smartphones with protected, like, let's say, a picture ID or a fingerprint. If you want to take a picture and you have a smartphone, okay, do that. At least you have some protection. Or make a copy of the card and cross out a number of the letters and keep that in your wallet. But really, leave it in a safe place at home. And we tell people what we mean by that is don't hide it where you can't find it, because there are times you want to bring your Medicare card. Let's say you're going to a new provider. Well, yeah, you should bring your Medicare card. You're going to the hospital. Okay, you should bring your Medicare card. But otherwise, leave the card at home. But no matter how many times I tell people, they're just going to keep carrying their Medicare cards, no matter what I tell them.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of our clients definitely carry their Medicare cards. And it makes sense because a lot of billing these days happens after the fact anyway. In many cases, they'll coordinate your benefits after it's happened. So in the example you gave, it's a perfect thing. They're not going to leave you on the side of the road because you don't have your insurance in your wallet. Take you.
Every state in this country, if there's an emergency, you will be treated. They're not just going to leave you on the highway.
Oh, yeah, which is good. So I know you talked about your explanation of benefits and, you know, worrying about all these things. You know, we talked about the big three or so. What are some newer scams you've been seeing that people should be on the lookout for?
Oh, yeah. There are a number of scams I mentioned urinary catheters being the most recent, but on a regular basis is a new smart card coming from Medicare. You know, replacing your Medicare card with a smart card that's going to have a chip. Well, that's a scam. Medicare is not issuing new Medicare cards, especially in plastic with a chip. That I can tell you, okay? So that's a scam we see all the time. Genetic testing is another scam we see where people get emails or texts saying, your doctor ordered this genetic test so that he knows how to better treat you. Well, that's a scam, and Medicare won't pay for it. I mean, there are some exceptions, but I won't go into that. There are some exceptions. Medicare may pay for it if you need it for treatment, let's say for cancer, and the treatment is not working, your doctor is very concerned. Then in that case, he may order a genetic test, but it may be legitimate. But in most cases, Medicare won't pay. And if you fall for this scam, you could be on the hook from $9,000 to $13,000. And they will go after you. You know, they'll give it to a credit agency and try to collect the money back from you. So that's a scam we see over and over again. And then another scam we see over, durable medical equipment, braces, knee braces, neck braces, back braces, ankle braces, any type of brace you could. They send it to you. You never ordered it. Not medically necessary, but hey. It was sent to you with billing Medicare, and what they send you is probably the cheapest stuff they could, and then bill Medicare for the full amount of a very, very quality, you know, item. But it's a scam, and so we see those scams over and over again. But the real message is to be careful and read your statements, mm-hmm. you know? And another thing we tell people, most scams like this happen on the telephone. So we encourage people, never pick up the telephone if you don't recognize the number. Let the message machine act as your intermediary. Leave a message. Many times you're going to find out no message is left. So why waste your time? Why fall? Why be a victim of a phone call that you don't recognize? And yet people continue, you know, especially if you're a senior and you're isolated, getting a phone call might be a highlight of your day. So you want to pick up the phone, but that's a real terrible thing to do. And we encourage people not to do it, but hey, we try our best.
Yeah, I know with our clients, we tell people, hey, almost everything you get is going to be through the mail. You know, even the companies you work with, your Supplement Advantage company, are probably not going to call you that much. No. So we keep people up to date, you know, and try to make sure everybody understands.
Right. And another rule that we tell people, the IRS, Social Security, and Medicare won't call you on the telephone. So if you get a call saying, I'm from Medicare, you need to get a new Medicare card or you're going to lose your Medicare benefits, you know that's got to be a scam because they're not calling you out of the blue.
I don't know. I remember one time I got called by an IRS agent and I said, OK, well, what's your case number? You know, what's your badge number? And they just hung up immediately.
Yeah, of course, if you do any kind of inquiry, they're not going to want to be on the phone too long.
Yeah. So one of the things I've seen over the years, and I don't know if you've popped it up, is the relevance of AI scams and people getting phone calls saying, hey, this police officer has arrested your nephew, you need to pay bail. Have you seen anything like that in the Medicare space yet?
I haven't seen it yet, but I am worried because AI will allow you to do a lot of things. You know, you can make believe you're someone who's a cousin and the voice sounds exactly the same. He knows a little bit about you because they did some internet search, you know? You have to be careful. We haven't seen that yet, but we are. I mean, it worries me because I know the possibilities. And actually, just this morning on the radio when I was coming in, I heard someone did a whole AI routine of Carlin doing a whole shtick, and they were discovered and you know, it was settled. But they used AI to recognize and use the image of Carlin to do a whole joke routine. And I said, wow, that's a little scary. And it looked real.
Yes. Yeah. I've seen a couple different times where I saw the George Carlin routine, which was crazy. I think the family of George Carlin actually sued over that.
Right, they did, yeah.
There have been some preliminary regulations saying that AI robocalls can't be a thing, but, you know, people are going to find a way to.
Yeah, well, that's why, you know, my daughter happens to work in the film and TV. And one of the things in the last contract they put in is they can't use AI to duplicate actors and actresses and other things like that because they are so worried that they might not even need these people anymore. They can do a whole movie with someone else's image. And I said, yeah. That's so. You know,
yeah.
We don't know what the future. I think in 10 years, we're all going to be shocked at what AI can do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like another online revolution. Like we're kind of in the dot-com boom right now where eventually it'll normalize. But for the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to start seeing things that we did not believe were possible, especially.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's terrifying. It really is. I mean, right now, fraud is difficult to detect. I can't imagine what it's going to be like if you have AI helping or abetting the fraud.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to talk with you about, Charles, is I've had clients who have had issues where a doctor's office says that a certain thing is not covered by Medicare, but you know, when we go on Medicare.gov, it clearly is, and then the doctor's withholding services. How do you let a doctor's office know strongly that they do have to indeed cover this Medicare service or that they do accept Medicare? Like, how do you go about things like that that might be not as overtly fraud, but really just bad practices?
Yeah, you know, we've had a number of cases like that. And but what we, you know, if a doctor office who's in Medicare, and most doctors are enrolled in Medicare in one way or another, you know, some doctors opt out of Medicare, so they can't submit claims, and you're responsible no matter what the doctor charges. So when you go to a doctor's office, especially for the first time, the first question you want to ask, are you in Medicare? And what level do you take assignment, or are you a non-participating provider, which means you can charge an additional 15% above the amount? So, you know, you have to always ask that question. But, you know, you have to be very, very careful. You know, when you go to a doctor's office and they say, we don't think this is covered, well, they're supposed to give you what's called advanced beneficiary notice, okay? Which means, hey, this may not be covered by Medicare, so you have the option. You still want to go ahead, and if Medicare doesn't pay it, you're responsible. But a lot of doctors don't know the rules, and we've seen cases where doctors say, this is not covered. So when they believe it's actually not covered, they don't have to give an ABN. They just say, this is not a covered service, but they just don't know the rules. So we try to educate them and say, hey, doc, you know, we got a call from a beneficiary, and this beneficiary said that you refused to give this service because it wasn't covered by Medicare. Well, it is a Medicare-covered service. Also, Medicare now, what I tell people is call Medicare. Tell them what the service is and say, is this covered? And if that answer is yes, you tell the provider, hey, I called Medicare. Medicare said this service is covered, and you are required to take me. Now, unfortunately, the rule is this. A doctor does not have to accept you as a patient. They could turn you down, even if they're in Medicare, which, you know, it seems a little strange, doesn't it? But they don't have to accept patients. So it's difficult. But we do the best we can in educating doctors. But a lot of doctors, you know, I hate to say it, but greed comes into play. And the more money they can make, the happier they are. So if they say, hey, it's not covered by Medicare, this is what we charge, you have to pay us up front. And that's the worst case.
Yeah, I actually had an instance where a client had reached out to a particular type of doctor. Obviously, want to keep everything as vague as possible to protect personal information. But yeah, the doctor said that they do take Medicare, but they do require money up front, which is really not a practice that's allowed.
Right.
I notified the client that is most likely illegal. And they got back to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, actually, I don't have the ability to take any more patients. So one of those things where once they realized that they were kind of had, they just dropped the patient. So it's interesting to see how people skirt the system while still getting it.
I have a story which I think you might find interesting. I did a presentation about Medicare fraud, and a woman came up to me afterwards and said, Charles, you know, my doctor is cheating Medicare. And I said, okay, how do you know? Well, I said, every time I go there and I get the bill, he bills me for a test that I didn't take. I said, great, tell me the name and address and telephone number of doctor and we'll open an investigation. And she said, oh, no, I can't do that. And I said, why not? I don't want to get him in trouble. And I said, you mean to tell me you're willing to go to a doctor who's cheating you? And she said, well, it's hard to find a cardiologist that I like. And that's the real issue. You know, it's people are seeing doctors for many, many years, and they don't want to upset the apple cart. So right. It's really, really a problem. And I tell them, well, that's not a good thing. So she still refused, and nothing I can do about it. I didn't have a name, a number, or whatever. But anyway, so it's a difficult situation, and people don't realize that this is their money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right now, you know, Medicare going forward, they say, you know, in 2031, which is only 7 years, Medicare may not be able to pay out 100% of the claims they are currently paying out. So what's going to happen? I don't know. I just know Congress will wait for the last minute to address this, but it's going to be a real issue going forward about the health of Medicare.
Yeah, it's interesting to me, too, because I love Medicare. I'm a big proponent of it. Once I became licensed, I went, this is amazing. You know, we do have a great healthcare system in here, but the cost always becomes an issue, primarily because of this fraud that really upsets the balance. What are some changes on the federal level you'd like to see? Do you want agencies like your own to be more well-funded? Do you want more investigators? Like, what do you think some cures to this on a systematic level are?
You know, I would be more active if I was Medicare and I saw scams going on to red flag these scams and not pay. I mean, I would be more proactive. I don't like the fact that they take 2 or 3 years to finally come up with enough evidence to stop paying these people. I think that's a real bad, really bad thing. And they're because once the money goes out, it's hard to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
You can prevent. That's why we try to prevent the fraud by educating people. But if we can't prevent it and the money goes out, it's difficult to get it back. So that's one thing I would like to see. And I like to see also stronger protections for Medicare beneficiaries. You know, the appealing Medicare decisions is hard. It takes time. There are different, like, I think 7 levels of appeal. I mean, who's going to do all that? You know, so that's another issue that I think needs to be addressed. You know, we have enough funding for the educational purposes. That's not really the issue. And we're busy. So, I think Medicare on their own should advertise more about what to look out for Medicare fraud. I mean, they have some campaigns, but do you remember ever seeing a Medicare commercial about preventing Medicare fraud?
I've seen for your particular agency maybe 2 or 3 times, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, we took some of the money and we did a public service network campaign, you know, with PSAs and bulletin boards and stuff like that. We're going to be in movie theaters. You know how you sit there before the theater and you see all these advertising? Well, we're going to do that. We thought that might be something worthwhile. So, and of course, we can calculate how much our education saves Medicare. You know, it's impossible to do that. We know we can reduce fraud, but how much we save based upon education is very difficult to calculate. So we hope that we're doing a good job, and we think fraud will be a lot higher if we weren't educating people, but that's a hard number to calculate. So when you do funding with the Senior Medicare Patrol, you have to be able to say, well, we reached out to X number of people. We did X number of events. We also do community events, you know, health fairs. We go to a lot of health fairs where we have maintain a table and we hand out information and we answer questions. So we're constantly busy, but those are some of the things that I would work on if I was Medicare.
Yeah, I think it's tough too, because like you said, even if people suspect fraud, they might not want to go through the bureaucratic process, or they might not want to give up their doctor because, you know, finding a new cardiologist might take you 6 to 8 months to even get into a new appointment. So especially depending on where you are, you might say, well, I see this guy skirting off the top, but I can't afford to get rid of him. So,
And if you should complain about your doctor, don't be surprised. The doctor is going to not want you as a patient anymore. But for me, I said, well, that's fine. Go get another doctor. You're better off anyway. But that's not, you know, that hurts beneficiaries because, you know, all of a sudden they're without a doctor that they've known for years. And doctors, you know, they don't want to be sued. They don't want to be investigated, you know, so they're going to just drop you as a beneficiary.
Yeah, I do want to talk a little bit about Medicaid fraud. Do you guys cover that as well?
Yeah, we do a little of that, not as much, but, you know, it's the same. It's really no different from Medicare. It's just that, you know, if you're a dual eligible and you have Medicare and Medicaid, you know, you're going to see the same frauds. You know, Medicaid doctors are no different from Medicare doctors. You know, when you're a dual eligible or you only have Medicaid, then you go to a Medicaid provider. And Medicaid covers a lot more things that original Medicare does not cover. What we tell people who are dual eligibles have both Medicare and Medicaid is go to a Medicare provider first. Only go to a Medicaid provider if it's a service that only Medicaid would cover. But, you know, we don't see any difference in the types of fraud. You know, doctors, like anything else, you know, they can bill Medicaid. And we see a lot of stories that doctors are, you know, cheating Medicaid just as easily as they're cheating Medicare. Remember, these are huge programs. It's very hard to discover fraud. And that's why beneficiaries have to be on the alert, because they have to be the advocates. They have to tell us, hey, I discovered this fraud. If they don't discover it, you know, what are we going to reach out to millions of beneficiaries and, hey, did you read your last statement? Did you discover any fraud? No, they have to basically act on their own. And we tell people, hey, you know, first step, read your statements carefully. Don't just, you know, oh, yeah, visit. Okay. But it's like you said, you get a statement that's many pages long and you're an elderly and you might have problems with vision. It's hard to sit there and read a Medicare statement, especially if you don't know codes. You know, they might have a code down there. And I keep telling people, oh, you can look up the code. But who's going to do that?
Yeah. One of the more common things we run into, it's not necessarily fraud, it's just a miscoding, is there's three different codes for your yearly physical.
Sure.
And it's so common that they put in the wrong code for something so basic. And we have it ready to go. We're like, this was the code it should have been. But, you know, you're kind of offsetting the administrative work of Medicare to the people that are on it instead of the billing departments, and it can be frustrating.
Yeah, but only the beneficiary can note if they miss coding, because they get the statement showing what the service was, and it's hard. Like I said, you know, what's the difference between an X-ray and a CAT scan?
Yeah.
It might be hard for them to understand the differences, so they get away with those kind of upcodings. But, you know, at least make an effort.
Mm-hmm.
The role I would say is, if you're a beneficiary, be your own advocate. Take the time to understand your statements. And if you believe there's any issues, call us. We're free. We, you know, it doesn't hurt us. We'll help you even, you know, review the statements, you know, to see if it looks proper. And we can do that for them too. You know, I'm also a SHIP counselor. You know SHIP, right?
The state. Yeah, I love SHIP. We have one very close to our office.
I'm a SHIP counselor also. So the more I know about Medicare and the more I help people, the more I can help them protect themselves from Medicare fraud.
Awesome. One of the things we've noticed a lot, and we've done a couple videos on, is how healthcare consolidation has been having a negative effect on patients, and how these big hospital systems are popping up and gobbling up all the local doctors. And
my doctor, my cardiologist, has gobbled up by, you know, I forgot the name of the hospital. But they're all gobbling up because it's, you know, being bigger means more profit.
We've done a couple articles about how this has led to an alleged, you know, uptick in Medicare fraud. Have you found this to be the case? As there's become less and less options, they're able to strong arm the system. And
I haven't seen a direct correlation with that. But what I am seeing is, you know, Medicare Advantage plans are getting very popular. Okay. You see the commercials during open enrollment, you know, Joe Namath, JJ Walker, Captain Kirk, you know, you know, touting these Medicare Advantage plans. But they only tout the good stuff. They never tout the bad stuff in a Medicare Advantage plan. And I try to educate people about, look, you know, I'm not saying Medicare Advantage plans are bad, but know the downsides. You know, and Medicare Advantage plans have been accused of, you know, using prior authorization to deny payment. not covering things. So what we're seeing is a lot of doctors and hospitals are refusing to take beneficiaries who are in certain Medicare Advantage plans because of these problems. You know, they're not covering certain things, or they pay too little, or they're asking for prior authorization. And I said, the hospital is saying, well, we're losing money because of that. You know, why should we take a patient from your MA plan if you're going to screw us? So I think we're going to see a lot of that happening, more and more MA plans, but MA plans because they offer all these additional benefits like hearing, dental, vision, meals on wheels, you know, safety bars in your home. These things are attractive, especially now, though, the attractiveness of these over-the-counter flex cards where you can basically get a card from the MA plan allowing you to buy maybe health-related food. So now the flex cards allow you to use it for anything, utilities, rent, stuff like that. And the people don't realize that MA plans are funded by the federal government. Every month they get a certain amount of money. And the reason they could offer these benefits is because they get all this money from the federal government. And the federal government knows that they've been overpaying Medicare Advantage plans for years. And yet they're still complaining because there's a recent, I don't know if you saw the recent rate hike for Medicare Advantage plans. It was announced. And they're complaining that it was a cut of like very minor amount, but they say the cost of providing the care, but they make billions. Medicare Advantage plans are making billions, and yet they're complaining. And it costs a lot more for the federal government to fund a person in a Medicare Advantage plan than it does to cover them in original Medicare. So I'm ranting here, but you can
see. No, you're preaching to the choir. It's interesting. Two points to go off that is Medicare Advantage was initially pitched as a system that would be cheaper than Medicare. Right. And 20 years later, it has not been the cost. And something we dove into is at the beginning of the year, all these Medicare Advantage plans are pleading poverty, even though we know they're actually making a lot of money. But a lot of people get it for these extra benefits like over-the-counter, like dental. Now that Medicare Advantage has taken about 50% of the market share, they're looking to actually potentially cut benefits in 2025. So a lot of those extra perks that people signed up for may be gone next year. And then you're kind of, for lack of a better term, just, you know, in that plan, and you might not be able to switch back to original Medicare with the supplement due to underwriting. You can always go back without the supplement, but at that point, you're...
One of the problems of, you know, if you go in a Medicare Advantage plan when you're healthy, fine. You know, that works very well. Your doctors are in the plan. But when you get unhealthy or very sick, and you say, I want to switch back to original Medicare. Well, you could switch back to original Medicare, but you're never going to be able to get a Medicare supplement plan because of underwriting at that time. You know, when you first join Medicare and you have Part B, you have 6 months, you can enroll in any supplement plan you want, and they can't turn you down for any reason. But after that 6 month period goes by, and unless you have a guaranteed issues for some other reason, you cannot get a supplement plan. So it's a real issue.
Yeah, and it's good that you brought up those points, because I think the two biggest, I think people don't realize that you can't always switch back to a supplement depending on your state. And another thing is people don't realize their out-of-pocket maxes could potentially be $10,000-$11,000. So I tell people that and their jaw just drops. They're in an Advantage plan and they go, wait a minute, what? And they had no idea. They just thought about the over-the-counter card and that was it.
I know. You know, I hate to say this, but I think it's also a matter of finance. You know, 100%. If I'm educating people, I say, look, if you can afford to be in a supplement with original Medicare, that's the best coverage you're going to get with a drug plan. But it's more expensive, at least initially, because you got to pay for the supplement premium. You got to pay for the Part D premium. You got to pay for your Part B premium. So that adds up. So but, you know, it's difficult. Like you say, these commercials are working because, like you said, more than half of the people now, when they enroll for the first time, are enrolling in Medicare Advantage plans because of these additional benefits.
65% enrolled.
Yeah, and it can be tough because for a lot of people, You might be running into a situation where the supplement costs an extra $150 a month and they truly just don't have it. So they have to roll the dice and potentially have those bigger costs later.
Yeah. So it's a, you know, there are problems, but the way to help people is to educate them. And when they have better knowledge of Medicare, they can make better decisions. And that's, and fraud is a part of that, obviously.
One more local thing I wanted to talk to you about is the program PAD, otherwise known as Pharmaceutical Assistance to the Aged and Disabled. We were very grateful that as the years have gone on, the income limit has gone up and it's made it more accessible. But I'm sure, as you know, Novo Nordisk and GSK left the program this past year, and it's left a lot of people with higher drug costs.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always tell people, if you need to be poor, be poor in New York and New Jersey, because they have a lot of programs like PAD and Senior Gold, which are fantastic programs. But you're right, you know, some companies are not making money on these, so they're dropping out of the program. But, you know, and the income level is significantly higher, you know, especially for PAD. Like in the last 2 years, it's gone up 10,000 each year. So that's a significant increase, allowing more and more people to qualify for PAD. But a lot of people on the low income side don't realize that there are many other programs called Medicare savings programs, like SLMB and Quimby and QI. And we try to, you know, help people understand that there are these programs out there that a lot more people qualify for but don't know anything about. And because they will help pay for the Part B premium, which is, you know, right now it's $174 and change a month. That's a significant amount of money that people can save if they qualify as a low-income beneficiary.
Yeah, or if in the case of PAD, not only will they pay your premium, but you can switch your drug plan any time of the year. And they'll, and often, obviously not GSK or Novo Nordisk drugs, but they'll cap all your drugs at $7. It's really,
and by the way, the Inflation Reduction Act starting in 2025, which is presuming there's no change. That I cannot guarantee. But starting in 2025, there's going to be a $2,000 cap on prescription drug. I mean, that is, I mean, I've spoken to people just with the current cap in 2024, they're saving thousands of dollars a year. But the $2,000 cap, it's going to benefit a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. I described to people that it's like a soft cap right now where the catastrophic phase comes in. But I had a client who was paying, not joking, $14,000 a year for a cancer drug. And he called me and he said, it's only $3,000 this year. And I said, and it's only going to be $2,000 next year. It's a huge change.
And, you know, we're looking forward to that, presuming that there's no change in the law, because I don't trust any administration, especially maybe a new one coming in. That's just my prejudice. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, and I know a lot of the pharmaceutical companies are fighting tooth and nail in the courts. So far, they've been losing, but you never know if it'll get held up for another year or something like that as the litigation goes through.
Sure, yeah. But right now, it's looking favorable, and we hope it comes into effect in 2025. That's a huge change. I mean, people don't realize a $2,000 cap is unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy to me when you see people who come in and, you know, this was obviously a year or two ago, the caps have changed, but, you know, to look at someone in the face and say, your drugs are going to be $5,000 this year and there's nothing I can do about it. It's heartbreaking because people are like, well, what am I going to do? And, you know, for a very long time, PAD was a program that had a lot of teeth that could help that. But, you know, obviously doesn't have quite the teeth it does with a couple companies leaving. So, Charles, this has been amazing insight. I want people to be able to follow up with you so they can.
Well, there are a couple of things. You know, we also have a website which has all this information on it. It's SeniorMedicarePatrolNJ.org. No spaces, no periods, SeniorMedicarePatrolNJ.org. And, of course, you can call the agency at any time, which has 732-777-1940, and ask for the Senior Medicare Patrol program. And we're available all the time, and we try to get back to people as soon as possible.
And if you're a local community center, you guys can come in and do a presentation and everything like that?
Absolutely. Yeah. As a fact, one of my outreach specialists just walked in and you see Val back there. Val, raise your hand. She's our speaking outreach specialist. So, yeah, we're ready to go. We'll come anywhere in the state. We travel to Cape Cod. Well, not Cape Cod, Cape May. What state? Cape May, all the way up to Sussex. So we cover the whole state. We'll come any, we do weekends. We'll even do nights if we have to, because that's our program.
Yeah. Well, it's really good to see someone fighting the good fight, educating people and helping people know their rights and fight back against Medicare fraud. So, Charles, it has been an absolute honor and pleasure. Thank you so much. And we will talk to you.
If you run into clients who need my help, you know where to reach me.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.